Well, you might recall the group O-Town from the ABC show Making the Band. My God, I feel old just saying that. I was a teenager when it was on. And the group back together, heading out on the My2K tour this summer with our friend Nick Lachey and 98 Degrees. A few other artists joining them. So we've got Jacob Underwood joining us on the line. Hey, Jacob.
Hi, how you doing, man?
Good, thanks. How are you? That's a big time for you guys. So a tour planned this summer. You've got shows all over the country. But so let's rewind a bit, okay? So over the years, there's been so much talk about the group. You guys took a break, and then you're back together. So you guys split for, what was it, about 9 or maybe 10 years?
Yeah, it was right about the 10-year mark by the time we got back together. We thought it would be like 6 months, and that turned into a year, and then two, and then five. Before you know it, it was a decade.
So let's talk about that, because I know, you know how there's always rumors and gossip, and it was this, it was that. What was it that made you guys part ways? It was in 2003, right?
Yeah. So we got together in 99, and since then, we had, you know, averaged about 320-plus shows a year for 2 years straight. We had shot three seasons of Making the Band. By the time it got to a point where we could take a break, it was much needed. We thought, like I said, it was going to be 6 months. We were like, okay, let's just go home, relax, see our families, hang out, and then we'll talk about getting back together again and, you know, what the next record would be and how that would look. And then before you know it, it was Ashley got into some acting jobs he was really wanting to do, and then I moved to Nashville, Dan started a family, and before you know it, years were going by quicker than you can count them. And then it got to a point where we kind of went, if we're going to do this, we should do it at the 10-year mark, because it kind of feels like now or never. And so we decided to do it. And, you know, the fans were the ones that kept pushing us. Now that they've come out to the shows, we're going to keep going.
Yeah, so you guys were how old, though, when you were doing the TV show?
19.
Yeah, so, well, that's exactly it, right? Yeah. You want to have a bit of your youth still. You don't want all of a sudden have that Bieber success and then all the trouble that comes along with that. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, well, we didn't go crazy. I don't think we had the money like that, you know, with the Lou Pearlman fiasco, everything that had to happen that same year, him going to jail, it would seem like the right time to take a break. Yeah. And we were like the last boy band to come in, you know, late. Eric's analogy is funny. It's like, you know that scene in Indiana Jones where he's going through and he leaves his hat, he reaches through and grabs it at the last second?
Yeah.
He's like, that's us in pop music. And we were like, you know, accepted because of the TV show. I don't know if we didn't have it, if we would have been accepted like we were. But that kind of closed the door on that whole pop scene, and it's been gone, and it was, like I said, for us a nice break, but it's fun that it's resurging because we get to go out with Dream, Ryan, 98, these guys we haven't hung out with in like a decade, and it seems like this long lost fraternity. It's pretty fun.
Well, and you guys, Making the Band was sort of the first of the reality shows when it comes to, you know, like music and putting together a band, right? Or was there any before that?
No, we were actually the first reality show on a major network shortly after Team Survivor. So at the time, we weren't as proud of it as we are now because we were just focused on music. But seeing how long reality shows have kept in pop culture, now it's kind of like, all right, that's cool that we were able to start that. But, you know, at the time, they thought it'd be a flash in the pan, just cheap TV. But it's funny how we've changed all of our viewing to more reality-based shows.
Well, it's cheap and more vicious now, I think, if anything.
Yeah, and they've got it down. If you watch our show, like, all of our shirts had tape across the chest. We weren't allowed to wear logos. We had got used to stripping logos off bottles or any, like, Coke or anything that we would, like, be drinking at the time. And now everything's product placement.
Right.
So they've got it down where it's like, this is a moneymaker, it's easy TV, easy cast. So, you know, it makes sense that it stuck around, but we were the guinea pigs for sure.
What's your craziest memory from the show and the experience you had?
Oh, man. They all kind of come flooding in at once. I mean, one memory, I guess, we were in Orlando and kind of famous ahead of time, so they would, like, cover our faces so nobody knew who we were, and we were told about the party. You kind of got a feel for all of that on the show. But I think Clive Davis, like, stepping on stage in New York and handing us our platinum record, that was a big one for all of us.
I know that you guys had some ups and downs with labels and management, let's say. Your bio on the website says that you guys experienced how, quote, complicated and sometimes corrupt the industry can be. A quote from your website. So explain exactly what that means.
Well, it's no secret that we were in business with Lou and we had all the warnings in the world. And our contracts are actually fine. I teach this to a lot of kids and bands now that your contract can be fine, but it's still only as good as the people involved. So you got to really surround yourself by positive people and honest people. And, you know, a lot of the story is the same old story. story where the money would go to the to Lou Pearlman, and he would say, sue me for it, and that was like his favorite line. So even if you earn the money, it doesn't always mean it reaches your bank account. So I guess that's the corrupt side, just really seeing what they're willing to do to take every penny away from even stuff that, you know, they've already made enough. Like, his chunk would have been enough. And I always look back at Backstreet, NSYNC, Britney, his take in those three bands. If he would have been fine living within his means, that's a pretty good accomplishment on its own right. Mm-hmm. But to be greedy enough to go do Ponzi schemes and then use that success to steal and gain people's trust, like, it's pretty corrupt to me. I love that Hunter Thompson quote about the music business. I think he said it perfectly.
Let's talk in general terms then, not naming people. So do you think that happens because it's young kids that are involved in show business? Do you think it's maybe that parents are inexperienced when it comes to legalities of show business? Why do you think it happens?
Both of those, of course. You know, it's a struggle now, I guess, in pop music especially, but you see it in all of that now, that these artists get picked pretty young and groomed for years and years before they're developed enough to really show what they're capable of. And a lot of times they're in the right scenario. I mean, a lot of artists we work with Clive Davis, so the artists would just praise him about what they were able to accomplish in six years of development. Mm-hmm. But it's very, you know, a common story that a lot of the kids, like you mentioned, kids who are parents, uneducated, aren't really sure what the right step is, and they just want to be able to help their kids. So it's not something they're doing just to say, I'm willing to sell out. A lot of them have their best intentions, but if you don't, you just don't know what you don't know sometimes.
Right. Okay, so let's now jump to that time where you guys were taking a break from each other as a group. Everybody was, you know, doing their own solo projects. You said some, you know, starting a family, whatever. When you get back together after all that time, what was that like? Was it like no time had passed, or was there a struggle now because you're minus one? Ashley is now doing his half-naked tweet pick thing. We know that.
Yes. So we try not to be distracted by that, but it was like getting, like, kind of like getting on an old bike that you had ridden before, but it's been a long time, because we got in the studio and it was more about we'd all gone different places, so trying to find the unity again. And what does our band sound like? We don't want to just sound like we're supposed to or what people would expect. Let's really put our minds together. Let's write some songs. Let's create some tracks that really speak for us, where we can find a happy medium, because we're all so different. It really was like, once we found Skydive, I think that catapulted us to going, okay, we're on something here. So we kind of just got in the studio and finished the album in about 6 weeks. I finally got to see what we'd be up with, you know, what we'd be capable of doing with our, left up to our own devices, because we picked our producers. If we didn't write the song, we did 60% of the writing on the record. A few songs that we didn't, we fell in love with so much that we handpicked them, edited, produced, did the artwork. So it feels good to be able to take what we've learned from Clive Davis and doing the show and be able to apply it in the new record.
Let's back up though for a second. So you lose essentially somebody from the band. You went from five to four people. You know, everybody brings talent, as you say, so their own sound to the music. Were you considering replacing and filling the fifth spot, or just continuing on as four? What was the thought process at that time?
Well, we kind of like joked about, well, let's do a contest to see who we could find. That kind of went away quickly though, because we all had developed as artists, and there were already five singers. And our band, we have five solo singers, so it's always tough to find parts. And I swear, it's so much easier with four people. I'll give you an example of that, is our choreography. If something goes wrong with five people, there's no way to save it. If you've got four people, you can always go, oh, you're standing there, okay, I'll just go to the other side and fix it. So we've gotten away with a lot more. Kind of like it with four.
Well, you had that great Miss America performance years ago, right?
Oh, man, pinnacle of our career.
If anybody doesn't know what we're talking about, just YouTube it. Because, you know, it was okay. I didn't think there was anything incredibly wrong. But in that moment, do you remember what you were thinking?
I was thinking, oh, my God, when is this going to end? I still don't think, honestly, at this stage, after singing with these guys for 16 years, or even just singing in general for 16 years, if I were in that same position, if I would be able to do it right still. Because we had no ears, so you heard the track slapping back with a 3-second arena delay, but you're having to sing on time, so you're trying to like sing way ahead of the track and hoping that it catches up. And not only do that, but you're trying to do it in 4-part harmony while you're dancing and trying to hear a track bouncing off the room. So it was pretty difficult, and it was definitely not the way we saw our first live performance, but I feel like we've corrected. God.
Maybe it's just me. I would have just run off the stage. I would have left the four on there. I would have just head for the hills.
It was pretty scary because everybody's looking at each other like, can you hear? Can you hear the track? So then the ears come out and you're just like, I mean, it was kind of a stressful moment. You just gotta laugh that stuff off.
Well, and I don't even know how many, you know, decades of experience somebody could have. You know, how do you come out of that? I'm sure the pros.
I think it's impossible. Like, I do the national anthem in the stadiums where you hear yourself in a 3-second delay, and you can focus because you're in charge. You just can't focus on what you're hearing. But when you're relying on, I have to sing to that track, but I'm not hearing that track for a 3-second delay. How do I sing 3 seconds ahead to try and time it out? I mean, I still don't think I'd be able to do that right. It'd be a good test, though.
Well, you know, here's hoping there's better equipment on this tour. So I mentioned at the top.
Yes, I don't think that'll happen.
Tell us about the tour. My 2K tour, right?
Yeah. I mean, we are going all out 90s for this one. Trevor couldn't be happier. He's pulling out all of his Fresh Prince clothes and all his 90s neons. But it's like it's kind of this old fraternity. We hung out with Melissa from Dream the other night, just kind of rehashing. They were 16 at the time, so it's fun. They're bringing their kids and their husbands. Like, it's a family event on there. I was laughing. I'm like, you guys got the family wagon, and we got the party bus, because three of us are still single, and we're with Ryan. So I'm sure it's going to be a weird dichotomy on the road, but it's going to be a lot of fun.
TMZ, I believe it was last week or 2 weeks ago, mentioned your rider that you guys have. So people might not be familiar. This is sort of, I'll editorialize, it's sort of the list of demands that an artist or group has. So TMZ listed some of those items. Do you want to just tell everybody what you guys require?
Well, I mean, like the simple, normal water and you know, cheese plate, and then we get 24-pack of the most popular local beers. I love the, you know, assortment of local beers is like my thing. And then Trevor gets all the liquor and mixers, and then there's it's kind of weird.
Go on.
Well, black socks. I mean, that's not normal. That's not weird, because every night you need new socks.
Right.
But then we got the Nintendo 64.
Yeah.
Because some guys are just addicted to GoldenEye still.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got a kitty litter box filled with kitty litter and fresh cat food.
Right.
For the strays that we pick up along the road. I don't think that's too much to ask.
No, back scratcher.
Back scratcher, and not the crappy kind. Like, I wanted the real kind with the fingers, like the old hand kind.
Right.
I don't want them to get cheap and get the fancy kinds, you know? They don't work as well.
let's go back to the cats for a second, because you're talking to an animal lover here. So explain to me what you guys do. Tell me the animal connection for when you guys tour.
Well, we're animal lovers, for one. And Eric has a hard time saying no. I don't know how much I can say past that.
Okay. Let's be clear, it's to animals.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right. Well, we're going to get a whole bunch of tweets on that one. So on the tour, then, you guys are performing some of your old stuff, new stuff, because I know you put out an album a couple of years ago. Are you working on any new music? So what's happening now?
Well, we're not going to surprise anybody with something they haven't heard, because I think the biggest, most the advantage and most fun for this tour is to play the stuff that people remember from the old days, because we are really like reliving how fun it was to be young and listen to these songs like Liquid Dreams and not know what the words meant. And now we all do, and we can drink together and laugh about it. So we'll do all of our singles, all the stuff that we have videos for. We mix it up with a couple of covers in there to kind of do a live mashup, and then we do a handful of the new ones.
You mentioned Liquid Dreams. Sum up for me what it means, then. Can you, in five words, give me the synopsis.
I got two words.
Okay.
Nocturnal emissions.
All right. We're going to leave it at that. We didn't even have to bleep it. Look at that. Everybody was panicked there for a second. We're good. We're okay.
keep it PG.
People can check out all of the tour details online, right? There's a website for it?
Yeah, my2ktour.com, and you can get the tickets there, and they have all kinds of perks. Our website, we're selling our VIP package through otownofficial.com, and you can find us at otownofficial at all the socials. Stay up to date with what's coming on with the tour.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be an exciting summer. Jacob Underwood from O-Town, thanks for joining us, and good luck on the tour.
My pleasure, man. I'll talk to you soon, and we'll see you guys out there.
All right, sounds good. Thanks very much.
Thank you.